Luke chapter 4, and verse 16. It's 1225 in my Bible. And he came to Nazareth, where he was brought up, and he entered according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up to read. The book of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and having unrolled the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to preach to captives deliverance and to the blind sight, to send forth the crushed delivered, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he rolled up the book. When he delivered it up to the attendant, he sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." Further on in the Gospel of Luke chapter 8, page 1235, my Bible. Just read from verse 43. Luke chapter 8 and verse 43. "And a woman who had a flux of blood since 12 years, who, having spent all her living on physicians, could not be cured by anyone, coming up behind, touched the hem of his garment, and immediately her flux of blood stopped. Jesus said, 'Who has touched me?' But all denying Peter and those with him said, 'Master, the crowds close thee in and press upon thee. And sayest thou, who has touched me?' And Jesus said, 'Someone has touched me, for I have known that power has gone out from me.' And the woman, seeing that she was not hid, came trembling and falling down before him, declared before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was immediately healed." Book of the Ephesians, Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 2, page 1411, and verse 12. Chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. "That you were at that time without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off are become nigh by the blood of the Christ." First Epistle of Peter, chapter 1, page 1468. First Epistle of Peter, chapter 1, and verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his great mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from among the dead, to an incorruptible and undefiled and unfading inheritance reserved in the heavens for you." And finally, if I can just read in the First Epistle of John, chapter 3. First Epistle of John, chapter 3, and from verse 2. "Beloved, now are we children of God, and what we shall be has not yet been manifested. We know that if it is manifested, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure." I'd like to speak a little in the Spirit's power tonight, the subject of hope. Hope. Something that tonight in the world is distinctly lacking. No one has really anything that they can hope in. Nothing tangible. I started reading in Luke chapter 3. The Lord Jesus come into the earth, the Son of God, and born in a manger in Bethlehem. The beginning, the story of salvation. The world was a pretty awful place before the Lord came. There'd been no speaking by God for roughly 400 years. There's nothing that God could take account of, really. Apart from one or two on earth that he could find anything in. The world was a dark place, ruled by Satan. So what a message the Lord Jesus brings in here. What a wonderful message. The Lord stands up in the synagogue in Nazareth, to find this scripture in Isaiah. I love to think of him, you know, unfurling that scroll. The one who it spoke of. To find that place, you know. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach glad tidings to the poor. Preach to captives deliverance, to the blind sight, to send forth the cross delivered. Dear friend, if you do not know Christ, then you fall into this category. To preach to captives deliverance. Those held under the bondage and the grip of Satan. He was the one, dear friend, the Lord Jesus himself, who was able to break that grip. The one who was able to restore the sight to the blind, to send forth the cross to lovers. You know, there are many in the world who would seek for something like this. Many who find themselves in the grip of Satan. Many who find themselves crushed by the weight of life. And yet they cannot find the answer because they do not look to Christ. Look to alcohol, or to drugs, to any other thing they can lay their hands to that might satisfy for a time. That might give them some relief from the pressures of life. And if all else fails, to end it all. What despair is found in the heart of man tonight? What is the answer, dear friends? The Lord Jesus Christ, my Saviour. If that word was true, when the Lord came into this world, it's true as ever today. The only answer to this world's problems is found in Christ. In him you can have a hope that lasts for all eternity. A hope that is secure. A hope that is certain. A hope that you will not find anywhere in the world tonight. Preach glad tidings to the poor. The poor in spirit, the poor in heart. Now there are many who have much material blessings in this world. Most of us in this room, much to be thankful for. If you don't have Christ, they mean nothing. The Lord himself says, what shall it profit a man? He secures the whole world, suffers the loss of his soul. Dear friend, you have a never dying soul that belongs to God himself. The one who in the beginning breathed life into man. Man became a living soul. The words of Scripture. We didn't come from any other evolutionary point, no other animal. God himself created us, man and woman. And God created us for a purpose, that we might bring pleasure to him, that we might be engaged in the praise and worship of God forever. That is the purpose of life. The purpose is why God created man. You know, there's many who seek for answers on that thought too. What is the purpose of life? What's the point of it? Somebody speaking to my brother months ago. He said, I go to work every day. I come home tired, I go to bed, I get up, and I go to work the next day. I come home, I'm tired, I go to bed, and I go all over again. What's the point in my life? Why am I living? He had no purpose at all. Dear friend, do you have a purpose in your life? The Lord Jesus had a purpose that was had a far more purpose-driven life than anyone that was here ever lived. Wish ye not that I should be about my Father's business. What was he here to do, dear friend? He was here to go to Calvary's cross. To display God's love towards you and me, the ruined sinner, the fallen creature, those who didn't deserve God's mercy.
And that's the whole point. We don't deserve it. But God's offering it tonight to us. Doesn't matter how far we've gone, how big a sinner we are. God loves you, dear friend. God loves every single one of us. That's why he gave Jesus. The motive behind the giving is God's love. There are many that the Lord came in contact in the earth, that were crushed, that were blind, literally and morally. I've read of one example. The woman who had the flux of blood. In a hopeless position, dear friends. Nothing she could do to help herself. She had tried. Spend all of her living. Seeing this doctor, the next doctor. You can imagine the answer. Always the same. And every time there was another doctor to go to, our hope would lift again. Perhaps he can help me. Perhaps there's someone on earth that's able to cure me from this disease. After every appointment, the same disappointment. It's the way the world will leave you tonight, dear friend. It's the way Satan will leave you. He has no desire for you to be cured from your sins. Satan is holding you in his grasp, and he has no desire to let you go. Not because he loves you. Not because he has any care for you. Because he wants to rob God, and he wants to prevent you from getting the blessing. Well, this woman, by the grace and mercy of God, lived at a time when there was a man who could help her. The man, Christ Jesus. Coming up behind, touched the hem of his garment. Do you wonder how she knew that that was all it would take? There was no word spoken. She must have heard about Jesus. Must have heard about the power that was available. She wanted to remain incognito, you might say. She had no desire to make a fuss. All she wanted was to be healed. Dear friend, if you have a desire to have your sins forgiven tonight, the Lord Jesus is ready, he's able, and he's willing. And he wants, dear friend, to have a personal transaction with you and you alone. The gospel is a very, very personal message between you and God. I can point you to the Saviour that God has provided, but you have to come yourself. Who has touched me? Think of the Lord knowing that power had gone out of him to heal this woman. He would have known who the woman was. His desire was to bring her out, that he might have this personal transaction with her. They might touch, that he might have a connection and let her know that her sins were forgiven. Thy faith is healed thee. Go in peace. Your friend, tonight your sins can be forgiven by trusting in Jesus and by coming in repentance to God. You know, it's no light matter, the gospel. It's not to be trifled with. If you refuse what God has offered tonight, you've refused the very best. Think ye that God would have spared not his son, if by a creature the work could be done? Was there any other way other than God himself giving his well-beloved son to go to Calvary's cross, to suffer firstly at the hands of wicked men? Not that they had any bearing on our salvation, but just to bring out to each and every one of us the hatred that is naturally in our hearts towards God's choice. If you think you'd been any different, dear friend, I'm afraid that you're not. God knows what's in your heart. Pharisees, it's desperately wicked and incurable. Think of the Lord of glory, King of kings, being subjected to the humiliation of those who spat upon him. Those who rained blows on his head. Those who mocked him with a crown of thorns and a purple robe. Think of who was here, none other than God himself. Think of him being led out to Calvary's cross. Carrying his cross. Think of him laying down on that cross for the nails to be hammered through his hands and through his feet. Was there any struggling with my Saviour? Can you imagine others knowing what was coming, wrestling against the soldiers, trying to find a way of escape? But no, my Saviour lay down willingly. Lifted up was he to die. To suffer the mockings of those who pass by. Ah, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. Lifted up between heaven and earth. In the 3 hours of darkness, when the judgment, dear friends, that is due to you and me, due, the debt that we owe to God for what we have committed, it's us that have offended God. Even one small sin, enough to banish us from the presence of God for all eternity. It's us that have offended God. I have offended God. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ was prepared to take my sins and to discharge the debt that was due by me to God. Paid in full. Suffering for my sins and for yours. Who himself bore my sins in his body on the tree, one could write. The one who knew not sin made sin for us. Can I understand what it meant for the Lord Jesus to be made that? No, I can't. I have no idea what it meant for the holy, righteous, sin-hating, sin-apart one that he was, to be made the article that he detested, that he abhorred, so that I can go free tonight. But he went, and he has done it, dear friend. For the work is finished. And his own blessed words on the tree, it is finished. A declaration to all, dear friend, that work is complete. And tonight, God's message of love and of grace and of mercy can be dispensed. Because God has full delight in that work. And tonight the hopeless can have hope in Jesus. By putting their faith and trust in the one who has done it all. The one who died. And the one who shed his precious blood. That was the cost to redeem your soul and mine. The precious blood of Jesus. Is it precious to you? It is your only hope, dear friend, tonight. It was the only hope for the Israelites coming out of Egypt. That door, that blood upon the doorposts and upon the lintel was the only hope for salvation in Egypt. The blood of Jesus Christ tonight is the only hope for sinners tonight. Are you trusting in that blood, dear friend? God is satisfied with it. Fully and completely. And to ignore it, dear friend, you ignore it at your peril. Like we said in the reading, the refusal of the glad tidings is not a refusal of the preacher. It's the refusal of God Himself. The one who, as Belshazzar was told, the one in whose hand thy breath is. Says elsewhere, if he only thought of himself and withdrew his breath, all flesh would expire. Dear friend, tonight the story of the gospel is to give you hope in trusting in Jesus. I urge you, I beseech you, dear friend, if you do not know Jesus as your Saviour, that tonight is the acceptable year, as the Lord spoke of. And elsewhere, it's the well-accepted time. Behold, now the day of salvation. None of us know what a day will bring forth. Respect the gentleman who sadly lost his life at Heathrow Airport this week, had no idea that going out to work, he wouldn't be returning home. And there are many. Many like that, who pass from time into eternity. It doesn't take long. Solemn. Death abounds on every hand. But dear friend, in trusting in Jesus, you trust the one who has broken the power of death forever. And because of his finished work and his rising again, not one person shall remain in death forever. Not one. There'll be those who we raised when the Lord comes. Those who have trusted in Him. And there'll be those who will be raised at the second resurrection. Death is not the end. But what hope is it? If all you are achieving in your life is to get to the end of it, have a full and long and happy, fulfilled life, and then to think that death is the end. What life is it? None. But death is not the end. Dear friend, trusted in Jesus, trusted in His precious shed blood, you have a hope that goes beyond death. Hope that goes beyond this world. Ye were at that time without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. No hope without God. This is Paul the Apostle writing this. We had no claim to the promises that Israel have. Nothing whatsoever. Nothing in us that deserved God's mercy. Nothing in me that deserved the giving of His well-beloved Son. And yet God in His love gave His only begotten Son that we might have hope, and that we who were afar off, can know the blessed nearness of relationship with God Himself. Because of the precious shed blood of Jesus. The story of the glad tidings is a wonderful message. It takes us from being the furthest away from God we could ever be. In our sins and iniquities. Banished from God's presence. And brings us into nearness and relationship with such a one. God Himself. Having no hope. But we have hope. We have a living hope. It's begotten us again to a living hope. This is what I want to come on to. The fact that it's a living and real and sure hope. And it's for now, dear friend. Your hope is for now. But you're living that hope. Living in the expectation of the Lord's return. Living in the expectation of what it will be to dwell with God above. Not hope that's a living hope because it's based in a living Saviour. According to His great mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope. I can't say much on it. I'm just struck in reading it. That it's a living hope. It's far beyond anything that is in this world that's a real living based in a Saviour, Jesus Christ. To an incorruptible and undefiled and unfading inheritance reserved in the heavens for you. This is what's awaiting us. As trusting in Jesus, you can be enjoying it now. Enjoying it now in the power of the Spirit. Another gift that we get as receiving the glad tidings, receiving the Saviour God gives to us of His Spirit. However long and short our time may be on earth, however long the pathway, we have His Spirit guiding us homeward and helping us to understand that the one who died and shed His precious blood is alive today. And as He's alive, we have this unfading inheritance. Finally, I'd like to read, just to turn to 1 John. The hope of being like Christ. The hope of being like Him forever. That if it is manifested, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We've never seen Jesus. Never seen Him. Whom having not seen we love. But Paul says, John says here, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone that has this hope in Him purifies himself even as He is pure. That's something, dear friend, that is a daily exercise with us. To be purifying ourselves. Because we're going to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus now. The Spirit's work in us. Remember somebody speaking about this scripture and saying that a brother said that they wouldn't want to be found doing anything that wasn't according to the will of God when the Lord came. Wouldn't want to be found sinning when the Lord came to take him to be with himself forever. And that was the scripture, this scripture that kept him daily in the following after the Lord Jesus. The challenge to my heart. The things that I do, maybe not pleasing to God. And what if I'm found engaged in that when the Lord comes to take me to be with himself forever? He is coming. What a wonderful, blessed hope. The Lord is returning to take us with himself. He's returning to set this world right. Returning to take up his rights in government. Returning to every knee then will bow to Jesus. Every knee. But dear friend, there'll be no, as such, no blessing in it. For those who do not bow the knee to Jesus now will find themselves in a crisis eternity. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Bow the knee to him as Lord. Repentance towards God. And dear friend, you'll find yourself as having this wonderful, certain hope that is for now. It says faith, hope and love. The greatest of these is love. Hope will cease. Faith will cease. We will not need them in eternity. But love carried on. This hope is for now. I encourage each of our hearts may be so for his name's sake. I'd like to finish with hymn number 220. 220.